and welcome to Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. We would love to have you join us for worship today. Our Bible studies begin at 9 a.m. for all ages, followed by a service at 10:30 a.m., and then our evening discipleship service at 6:30 p.m. We are located at 14260 South Dixie Highway in Monroe, Michigan. Our phone number is 734-241-6860. You can also find more on our website, www.mmbconline.org. Here is a message from our discipleship pastor, Tim Icoangeli.
Hebrews chapter 4 is where we'll be. It's important to have your Bible with you. I hope you do. If you don't have a Bible, you could see me after. I can get you one or do my best to get you one. Because you need to be reading God's word as I read it, because I'm not perfect at all by any means. Just last week, my son had a basketball tournament down in Ohio, and he had a tournament in, I'm going to get it mixed up again because I'm not perfect, but he was in Swanton, Ohio, I believe. But when I sent my text to my wife, it said Swanson, Ohio. Gave her the address and put Swanson, Ohio. I don't know if I typed it or if Siri did or what. And I didn't think anything of it. And so when she got to the game late, what's going on? Why are you late? You sent me to Swanson, not Swanton. And I said, you have the address in your phone. You should have double checked it. Don't just trust what I sent you. You see how I did that? I switched it onto her. And that's what I'm doing to you this morning. Get your Bible out and follow along with me, okay? I want you to see that I'm reading from God's word, that we're teaching on God's word. I want you to know that God's word is truth. In our current series that Pastor Roy's been doing, we've been focusing on evangelism. Many of you have taken cards that he's given out and challenged you guys to put the name of somebody on there that you're going to be praying for, that you're going to be trying your best to share the gospel with, and praying that God will save their souls throughout this year as you pursue them as well. And as I listen to that series, and as I know that that is true, and I know that these are things that we need to hear, I think if you're anything like me, and I think you are in this, one of the things that comes to your mind is, man, you're giving me something else to do. And almost this guilt can come over you. Like, for me, I'm putting one name down on this card and it feels like a weight. I know way more than one person who's not a Christian. So I should be putting more down. And all of a sudden, Satan starts just throwing these feelings of, you're not good enough. You're not going to succeed in this. And just this weight falls on me when I get challenged with things like that. Now, I'm not saying I shouldn't be challenged with those sort of things. I need to be challenged with those sort of things, and so do you. But I think it becomes very easy for us to feel like this is a burden or this is a weight, when we know that the truth of God's word tells us that this is not supposed to be like this. It's not supposed to be like this. We're not supposed to have this feeling, because in Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 through 30, Jesus is talking and he says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And then Jesus says this, come to me who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, I read that truth, but yet so often when I hear a preacher preach or I hear a teacher teach and say, Christian, you need to be doing this and you need to be focusing on this and you should be working on this, it doesn't feel like this yoke is light. I don't feel like the burden is easy. In fact, a lot of times my go-to is, this is stressing me out so much, I'm just going to slip out. Some of you might be like that. When stress gets real heavy, when you have a lot of things to do, what do? You take a nap. That's just your natural go-to. But the problem is what? You wake up and Your list is still there. Your to-do list has not been done. And so how do we find this rest? What is the disconnect? Where is it at? Where is this true rest that is promised that Jesus is talking about here? Or did Jesus just kind of mess up? Jesus lived way back then. He doesn't live now. Things are harder now. Things are different now. You know, what is the answer to this question? Well, I hope to answer that in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 through 13. Let's read it together. It says, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." As we read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 through 13, and if you, and we will look back to Hebrews chapter 3 as well, it's kind of interesting. The writer of Hebrews is kind of preaching a sermon on Psalm 95. So all those quotes that we read from the Old Testament come from Psalm 95. And so you can take time this week to study that yourself. I trust that you'll do that. But that's where those Old Testament quotes are coming from. And what I see here in Hebrews chapter 4 is five things. Rest number one is this. Rest is available. Okay, so we're going to look at that. Rest is not guaranteed, but rest is obtainable. And then also rest is shareable. Four things. I'm sorry, I said five. Four things. But then also rest is shareable. When we look at verse 1, we see that there is a promise and that this promise remains of entering his rest. This is great news, is it not? This is great news for the world. This is great news for us because everybody I have ever ran into in my life, I feel like what they want and what they desire is rest. They're seeking out rest and they're seeking to have rest. If you ask somebody, you know, what do you have going? Oh, we're just so busy, right? We're just so busy. That's everybody's go-to. That's what we say. We're just so busy. And well, what if I could offer you rest? Right? What if I had a way for you to get rest from your busyness? I dare say most people would say, yeah, I want to know how that happens. How can we have that? How can we come upon that? As we read God's word and as we study God's word, we see very clearly that God is the creator of rest. We see this in the creation narrative. We see this in Genesis. When God would create and he would create everything and he would look over everything after he created everything and he would say it looks good and then what? He rested. On the seventh day, he rested. And why did he rest? His work was done. And so it was time for him to rest. And so what God did in that for us is God established a cycle. That's what was happening here. God was establishing a cycle for creation that included rest within the cycle. Now, sadly, we don't follow this very well. We do not follow this cycle very well at all. And as a result, we reap what we sow. We're tired. As I was sitting here, I'm sitting here on the front pew, and I'm looking at my Bible, and I'm getting ready, just overlooking some things, and my phone does the little bzzz, and I look, and it's, hey, can everybody make it to the game next week? Let me know. Right? It's constant. It's all the time. 24/7. We are being asked and called upon to work, to serve, to do, and to be. And that's not the cycle that God has established for us. And we'll look at this a little more, but in a world that doesn't believe in God, obviously would not believe in God's cycles. And so that's why we have what we have. But we know that sin is the root cause of this. So then what is the rest that we're being promised? What is the rest that is available here? And this is why we'll have to go back to Hebrews chapter 3, which we will in a second. But for Israel, the rest, if you remember, was the promised land, right? God said, I'm going to take you to a land where you will find rest. And there'll be, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. And I will be your God. I will be your king. And you will serve me. And you will not have to labor anymore. That was the promised land that was being promised to Israel. Moses and then Joshua and running out all the inhabitants. All that stuff happened and took place. But the picture that we have, what that is pointing to and what that is leading to is that is not the final rest. That was not the perfect rest. And we saw this in Hebrews chapter 4. It said if that rest was perfect, it would not speak of another rest. We wouldn't need it, but we do need it. And so there's this pointing to Jesus, that the true rest that is being talked about can only be found in Christ. Not having to work for this rest, not having to labor to come upon this rest, but instead finding our hope and our rest and our peace in Christ and in his work. That is the only rest that we can hope for today, here. Now, one day as Christians, we look forward to that day of rest and glory, right? In heaven, where it's eternal rest and we don't suffer with the weight of sin or with this flesh any longer, because we know we're going to deal with that all of our life. But as Christians, we're promised not for eternity though. It's just for this time. And so we have that promise of this future heavenly rest that we desperately look forward to. And so there is a rest available, but this rest is not guaranteed. Flip back to Hebrews chapter 3 with me. Should just be one or two pages maybe in your Bible there. But in Hebrews chapter 3, if you read that, as you go through verse 1 all the way through verse 6, it talks about Jesus who was faithful. And if you study Hebrews, it's talking about how Jesus is our faithful high priest and our need for this faithful high priest and who knows exactly what we're going through, who can meet our needs unlike any other priest can do. Only Christ can do that. And so we see this faithfulness of Jesus. And then when you get to verse 4 and verse 5, it starts to talk about Moses. And it talks about how Moses was faithful. Look at verse 5. It says, and Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. And so we see this truth that Moses was faithful, and he was faithful in leading Israel out of Egypt and getting them almost to the promised land. He didn't quite make it, Moses himself, but then Joshua took over and was faithful and led Israel into the promised land. But as you keep reading, as you get to verse 7 and you make your way through all the way to verse 19, what starts being talked about is Israel and the fact that Israel was not faithful. Jesus was faithful. Moses was faithful. But Israel was not faithful. And as a result of Israel's unfaithfulness, what happened? They hardened their hearts and they never got to enter the promised land. They never got to enter into that rest. And so that whole generation that left Egypt and was heading and wandering in the desert because of their sin, because of their unfaithfulness to God, even though they had seen the miracles take place, even though they had seen many of the promises already happen, they had ate the manna, they had drank the water, they had done all these things that God had given them, because of their unbelief, they could not enter into rest. Rest was not guaranteed. Just because you are part of the clan did not mean that rest would be found. That's important for us today. Just because you are sitting inside these walls today does not mean that you will find rest. You say, but this is pretty comfortable pew. Feels pretty warm in here. I think I could find a lot of rest. Maybe that way, sure. But you will never find rest for your souls just because you walk in this building. Just because you put the label of MMBC on you does not guarantee rest for your soul. Unbelief was the cause of this. Look at verse 19 of chapter 3. It says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. That was the issue. It wasn't because of how they looked. It wasn't because of the type of person they were. It had nothing to do with any of that. The simple reason that they could not enter into rest was because of unbelief. And when you get to verse 1 of chapter 4, the writer of Hebrews says, therefore, now knowing this, knowing that because of unbelief they could not enter into rest, he says, since a promise remains entering his rest, lest us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Now there's a fear here. What is the fear? The fear is unbelief. The writer of Hebrews is saying, you need to fear unbelief. Because if you have unbelief, you will not have rest. It is not a guarantee. There's a lot of people in this world who want to think that the rest of God is a guarantee. If they live their life, if they do what they feel they need to do, that God in the end will be kind to them because he's a loving God and he will give them rest. That is not true at all. And if you're here today and that's what you're basing your salvation on, if you are basing your hope for eternity in how good of a person you are or in all the things that you can do, let me encourage you to take these words of the writer of Hebrews and let them implant in your heart. You better fear big time, because it's about belief. It's about a belief in Jesus, and that's where we're going. It's not guaranteed, but rest is obtainable. Look at verse 3 of chapter 4. It says, for we who have believed do enter that rest. There is a guarantee there, isn't there? If the guarantee is based on a belief. Belief in what? Well, a belief in the finished work of Christ. In the finished work of Christ. And it's important that it's said this way. In the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's where rest is. You say, but there has to be more to it. There has to be more to it. For me to obtain rest for my soul, there's got to be more to the story than just trusting in Jesus and who he is and what he has done. And the answer to that biblically is there's no more to that story. You must believe that Jesus came, fully God, fully man, lived a perfect life according to the law, that the authorities would take him, that they would crucify him, that on that cross he would bear the shame and the guilt and the reproach of sinners who would believe, that he would bear it all on his shoulder, that he would take that wrath of God, that he would die, but that he would rise again, conquering death, hell, and the grave. Why? So that we can find rest for those who believe in him. That's why. That's the finished work of Christ. That is trusting in him completely. That's what it takes. I was talking to Gaetano this week about his trip to Greece and some other things, and he said, you know what? He goes, Pastor Tim, you know that I love witnessing to people. And he does, man, he's on fire for that. He said, God gave me a gift while I was there. I witnessed to somebody and they accepted Christ right in front of me. I said, that was great. He goes, and I think it was real. He said, we were talking about it, and the guy said, finally, I'm free. He'd been to church his whole life. He'd been to a Christian church his whole life, but he had never heard about having to be born again in a Christian church. Never heard that phrase before. Never knew what it meant. And so God walked him through scripture. And when he got done, this guy said, I believe. And they prayed, and he said the response of this man was, I'm finally free. What's he saying? I finally have rest. I've been toiling over my own soul for all this time, wondering and hoping that maybe I might be in, that maybe I've done enough, that I might be good enough. And when God finally opened his eyes to the truth, it came off of his shoulders and he realized the work has been done in Christ, not in me. Jesus has done the work. It's not about what I do. It's not about what I try to do. Jesus on the cross, what's he yell out? He yells out, "It is finished." It's not, "Hey, my part's finished. You better do yours." He didn't say that. He didn't say that. He said, "It is finished." And then, so for those of us who believe, we enter into that rest and we have rest for our souls completely. Completely. That is why we can look to one of the Psalms, Psalms 23, which we know and we read, but it actually means something to the believer who has found rest, right? It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." Again, it's just peace being evoked in that. "He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." When we enter into God's rest, that's our life story, Psalm 23. Some of you walk into your plant and you would call it the shadow of death as you walk down that hallway to your station. But as a believer, you have rest in your soul. Though your boss doesn't believe in the cycles that God has established for rest, you do, and you can trust in them. You can trust in them. They're a guarantee to you. And it's all because on that cross, Jesus would cry out, "It is finished. It is finished." I challenged my kids. I said, "Do you know what tetelestai means? Tetelestai." That's what he yelled when he said, "It is finished." The Greek word, tetelestai. It's finished. It's over. It's complete. You don't have to labor any longer. But we messed that up. Some of you here today, you've never believed. And you can't believe because you say there has to be more to it. You say that's too simple, or that's too crazy, or people have refuted against that. That's fine. It's a choice that you get to make today. It's a choice that you get to make. But I would beg and I would plead for you to believe, to trust in Christ, to believe in who he says he is, and I pray that the Holy Spirit would draw you and bring you in to his truth. But then for some of us who are saved, we struggle with this still. We turn away from the truth that it's not about our work, but it's been finished in him. And you know this to be true, and I fall in this too all the time. I don't rest in Christ all the time. I start to rest in my own work, I start to rest in my own labors, or I say, "Well, man, once July comes, I get to rest because I get to go on vacation. That's when I'm gonna rest." But you know just as well as me, there's been no vacation that anybody goes on that they come home rested. It just doesn't happen. Why is that? That's not the cycle God has given us. That's not what it says in Scripture. It doesn't say work hard for 358 days and then take a vacation and I'll restore you completely that day. That's not how God aligned it. But yet as Christians, we fall into these cycles of the world and then we get frustrated with ourselves because we say, "Why do I feel this way? Why am I struggling with this? Why do I feel worn out all the time? Why do I not have rest in my soul?" Well, it's because what cycles are you believing in? The world's or in God's? And I know that's a hard battle. I know that's a hard thing to struggle with. I myself struggle with it. One of my main work days, some of you would say my only work day, is today, Sunday. which we would say is a day of rest. And so then it's up to me to try to find a day of rest separately. But that's important. I have to do that. You have to do that because God has made us that way. That's why verse 10 is so important. Look at, for he who has entered his rest. Now this is for the believer who has entered his rest. That's what's being said here. Has himself also ceased what? From his works as God did from his. As we enter in to the rest of Christ, what we understand is I don't have to work for that anymore. And this is where I want to tie this into evangelism. As we get to verse 12 into 13, this is a very popular verses. And it said, you know, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And I've seen many a pastor say that, you know, pull your Bible out and wield it. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. But then that guy just goes on to tell stories about himself and doesn't ever talk about the Bible. And you don't know how to wield the Bible, but now you know how to yield stories about yourself. And all of a sudden, you are the hero of the story instead of the Bible. It's usually a big disaster. But this is where I think this ties into evangelism. As we are saved by the grace of God, as God saves us through his word, and those are the only people who are going to keep this belief and persevere throughout. You say, well, can they lose their faith? No, I don't believe that at all. I don't believe you can lose your salvation at all. But I believe many people come and they think they believe. But then the world enters in and 5 years down the road, 4 years down the road, months down the road, all of a sudden they disappear. And why? Because that belief wasn't real. They heard something better. They've attached onto something better. And so the only way that we are going to believe and persevere is if our belief is being drawn by the Holy Spirit through the word of God, because only the word of God is discernible and can cut down to the marrow, to the joint, and to the bone. Not my stories. Not somebody coming up here and telling me a good story about their testimony. Even though there's good parts about their testimony, what I need is I need God's word to cut me so that my belief will be true, so that it will last. When that has happened in my heart, then I know that that is the only way for it to happen in other people's heart. And the Bible tells me that no creature can hide from its truth. None of them. That's what it says there in verse 12 and verse 13. Nothing can hide from him. They will be shown as naked before him. Now, some will not enter this rest as we talk about, but others will enter this rest. If God is the one doing this work, if it's God's word that actually is the one that goes out before us and is doing the work of an evangelist, what's my job then? Just sit there? Do we just sit there and rest? No. I think our job is this. We pray for those who are lost. The Bible is very clear about that. God wants to hear our prayers. He wants us to bring people before him, before his throne. He wants us to be on our knees, even weeping for the lost, pouring our heart out to him, asking him, God, save these souls. Please save these souls. Do your work. I hope you're doing that. I hope you're praying for your family members who are lost, who have not entered into rest, who will not experience rest unless they believe in Jesus and his finished work. I hope you're praying for them. But then next, we're supposed to share with those. We share with those who are lost. So we don't just pray for them and say, God, by some miracle, just do something to save them. No, we say, God, use me. Let me be the miracle, right? Let me share the gospel with them. Let me do my best to show them the gospel message. Let them see that I have rest. You know, I believe there's a lot of people who will not become Christians because the Christians they know are crazy. They have no rest. They have no hope. They have no peace. I know Christians who wear their fingers out on Facebook, sharing and posting and fighting and doing this and that. And I'm like, why would anybody want to be friends with you? Or have what you have. Doesn't seem very restful. Doesn't seem very loving, kind, God-like at all. So we share the gospel with people. Then third is this. As we pray, as we share, we rest in the fact that we know it's God who does the rest. It's God who does the real work of conversion. And that's hard for us because we want to have that control. I want to say, no, God, you're gonna save my grandma. This is gonna happen. I'm gonna pray harder. I'm gonna share harder. You are not gonna stop me. That's not trusting in the finished work of Christ. That's when we stopped resting in him and we start trusting in us. That's when I see a lot of Christians get down because they think, man, my friend just hasn't come to know the Lord. I just don't have enough faith, do I? It's not based on you. Stop making it about you. If you think it's about you, then why did Jesus die on the cross and say it's finished? Stop making it about you. That's why you have no rest. That's why your soul is weary. Because you think you can do something about it beyond what God has given you of prayer and sharing. We must trust. Because there are times the opposite happens. You sound like a fool. You haven't lived your life anything like a Christian. And you mention the gospel real quickly to someone, and what happens? They say, I'm free for the first time. They accept Christ, and you think you go back to bed and you're like, what in the world? How did that happen? I'll tell you how it happened. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's about what he has done. Too often as Christians, we have stopped trusting. Verse 12 and 13. We say it very boldly, and we say it very loudly. We say it to our children. This is our sword, kids. This is our weapon. This is what we wield. But then I think too often we trust in little gimmicks of how to share the gospel on a napkin, or how to draw three circles and walk them through the circles. Now you say, what's wrong with that stuff? Nothing's wrong with it. But if that's what you're trusting in to save your neighbor, it's not the work of Jesus. This has been saving people for thousands of years, this word right here. Telling them who Jesus is, telling them what Jesus has done, and then saying, do you believe? And praying that God will work in their hearts. If you want to see your loved one come to know the Lord, know this thing and share it with them. Share it with them. Pray for them. Live it out. Live it out. Let them see you living it out. And you say, well, man, that doesn't sound very restful. When we trust in Jesus, we have rest in our souls. Because I know it's not about me. Yes, I want my family to come to know Jesus, but I know that it's not on me. It's on God and his plan. And I have to trust in that plan. And so I faithfully share, I faithfully witness, I faithfully pray, and then I faithfully trust in God, my creator, to do his work. And when he does his work, I'm thankful. And I praise him for the work that he's done. Christian, today, my hope really is this. I want you to have rest in your soul. Because I know that as Christians, when we have rest in our soul is when we actually go and work and serve. I can sit up here and throw all kinds of burdens on you of morally good things that the Bible says to do, and I think you should do them. I think I should do them. But I think if you don't have rest in your soul first, you're never going to do it. Or if you do it, it's just going to be begrudgingly, and it's just going to be another weight. Jesus says, come to me, all ye who are weary and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. He doesn't say, I will give you rest and lay you down so you can sleep. He says, I'm going to give you a task, but it's light. Why? Because he's pulling the cart. He's the one doing the work. So I hope for you as a Christian this morning, I hope that you have been reminded of the rest that we have in Christ. That when you walk out of these doors, you do not feel the weight of the world on your shoulders. Listen, I cannot tell you how many moms I have talked to who carry a weight on their back of their children's salvation. And I think, get that off your back. That is not for you. Yes, you are to disciple them. Yes, you are to pray for them. Yes, you are to point them to the Lord, but it is the Lord's work to save them, not you. Stop carrying that burden on your shoulders. Dad, don't carry that weight of making sure your son grows up to be this man of God. Yes, again, disciple them, point them. That's not our weight to carry. We don't walk around hunched over, heavy, because Jesus says, my burden is light. If you're not a believer today, I hope you believe in that. I hope you will trust in Jesus as your Savior. I hope that you will be able to say, I am free. I am free from sin. I am free from the weights of this world. My trust is fully in Jesus and what he accomplished on that cross and said, it is finished. And that you can walk out of here saying, it's finished for me too. I'm his. I trust in him today.
If this broadcast has affected your life today, or if you have any questions about anything that you have heard, please feel free to write us at info@mmbconline.org or like and comment on our Facebook page. This has been Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. Have a blessed day.